FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hey everybody, welcome to TFYLP episode 162. It's the return of TF Expo's Fear Zero. And I am joined by cast regulars Daniel Protoman.
Yo baby yo, $2 ho.
Don the Headmaster.
Do that the other way, Headmaster Don. wrong connotation. context is our friend.
Jim.
What?
I'm not even going to pronounce that.
It wasn't my fault. I swear to God, she said she was 63.
63. And of course, we have our special guest, Phil Zero from TF Expo.
Woo! Thank you.
Returning to TFYLP after 49 episodes.
Yes, I appreciate it. Glad to be back.
So, why don't you go ahead and, for any listener that's not familiar, go ahead and explain to us TF Expo, some of your history, and how you got started and all that.
Okay. Well, we started in 2011, so this year will actually be our fifth show. We're here in Wichita, Kansas. We do typically a one-day show. We did a one-day show in 2011, 2012. 2013. We did do a weekend show last year in 2014 when we had Neil Ross and Sumali Montano in. And this year we're going back to a kind of a 1.5 day format. We're Friday and Saturday, and then we've got kind of a bonus day on Sunday with the local comic book store, Prairie Dog Comics. So, but we are bringing in Dan Gilbert in this year as our guest of honor, whom I'm sure you guys all know is the voice of G1 Bumblebee, and a pretty cool guy. I've had a chance to meet him at BotCon before, and I'm sure most of you have, but we're excited to have him in. So we're also bringing in Buzz Dixon, G1 writer, so I've never met him before. Seems like a pretty cool guy, though, so I'm looking forward to kind of hanging out with him and getting to talk to him a little bit about some of his history with the G1 cartoon. And then we've got Matt Frank making his return to the show this year also, of course, known as the IDW Godzilla and Transformers artist. So he's one of our favorites, and he always enjoys the show, and we enjoy having him. So we're glad to have him back.
I would have a lot of fun with that because you see the Transformers behind me, but we don't see over there. Is the case full of Godzilla figures.
Oh, really? Well, cool. Yeah. There's a lot of crossover with those fandoms, I think. Just enough connections there that a lot of people enjoy them.
I think it's the whole giant anything fandom, right?
anything big enough to step on other things, I guess.
We like things...
Giant anything. That's too ambiguous. That's a good place.
But we'll see, that's how we like it on TFYLP.
All right.
Yeah, but see, but what you don't see is all Godzilla's dressed in tutus and sailor scouts and other things. So
all I'm saying is, we have this best friends My Little Pony line coming out. Where is Godzilla and yours? I mean, no. I don't want no ponies. I ain't buying the Transformer ones. I ain't buying Godzilla ones. So, I also saw that you have an exclusive for those who show up.
We do. We've got a registration exclusive, and that is some of the plushies by Shirley Chung. She does the handmade plush Transformers characters that kind of resemble the Littleformers characters, but there's a Bumblebee, which is called Scout. There's a Snapdragon, which is called Raptor, and then there's a Hotspot, which is called Chief, and those are, of course, celebrating Dan Gilbazin as our guest of honor. He voiced all those characters in the G1 cartoon. So the ultra registrants get all three of them, and then the lower tiers get, you know, two or one, depending on what level they registered at. But those are included with our registration packages this year. We just wanted to try something a little bit different. We like to do something a little different every year. Last year we had the BMOG, and we had Shirley set up with an artist table at our show last year and sold quite a few of her items, and they were really popular. So we thought we would partner with her this year and try to do something a little bit different. But we've also got a custom class exclusive that Javico designed, and then Non-F Productions is producing it. But it was co-designed by Donnie Mason, who's my co-organizer, who lives down in Tulsa, but he's pretty active within the fandom as well. But he designed a Headmaster based on the TF Expo logo. And the, you may or may not be familiar with our logo, but it's like a faction symbol with kind of a Native American motif. So our custom class exclusive is the TF Expo Headmaster, not called Headmaster, of course, but it is cast from four different shades in the plastic, and then you can, in the custom class, you'll get to mix and match which colors you want to build it out of and then paint it. So, nice. Yeah, it's a really good idea, actually, and it looks really nice. It will fit the Generations Brainstorm, but I think it also comes with adapters, so it'll fit the G1 Headmasters as well.
So that sounds really cool.
Yeah, and, yep, there's our exclusives there.
Yeah, so yeah, I went ahead and pulled these up for everyone to see. So you'll get these if you register for the convention.
If you have registered, and our registration is actually closed now. But if we've got any extras, we'll be selling those at the convention, but they'll be pretty limited quantities. We'll have more of the Scout than the others. I think the others are almost gone just from registration. Mm-hmm. But if anybody's wanting to come to the show and pick those up, I would suggest you come pretty early to try to get those. They'll be for sale at the TF Expo store. So
yeah, well, I have to say, I'm looking at the homepage right now.
Uh-huh.
And what really caught my eye is the exclusive you've got from BMOG.
Yes, that was our 2014 exclusive.
Okay. I'm sorry, because I had put in 2015 in the search engine. I didn't realize I was on the wrong page. Oh, that's
okay. No, we still have them for sale in the store. Okay. So, yeah, they'll be available at the show as well. But they were new last year. They're still continuing this year.
Carburetor. Yeah, I love that. Yep. I absolutely love that, because it's that standard BMOG bear that everyone loves, but he's called Carburetor. I love that.
And the idea for him was that he's kind of the Wheeljack / Rhinox of the BMOG characters, at least on the heroic side. So he's kind of the gearhead of those guys. So that was the thought behind him, and then of course Trent came up with the names and the bios and everything for us. So we enjoyed working with them.
That's a wonderful pun. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we enjoyed having those as our exclusive, and like I said, we do still have a few left. We'll be selling this year. But this year's new stuff is the plush T-Bots and then the Guardian Headmaster set.
Yeah, so I pulled out the it looks like the render of the Headmaster here on your website. And it's looking pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with that. I cannot take credit for any of the design or concept, but that was something I was excited to do. Donnie kind of came up with that, and of course he's buddies with Javico, and Javico came up last year and did a custom class for us, and he's coming back this year. I think he's coming back, so but we'll be assembling that in our custom class on Saturday, and of course you can, like I said, pick out your plastic layout, and then you can do your own custom paint scheme on him as well, and he'll fit either the Generations Brainstorm or he'll fit the classic Headmasters as well.
Sweet. So, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, so Generations Brainstorm, that Headmaster does not interact with the G1 Headmaster molds at all?
No, it doesn't, but there's an adapter, so it'll fit either one of those.
Okay.
I believe that's how it works.
See, I've not actually had a G1 Headmaster mold in a good number of years, and I assume that the Generations Brainstorm there, down there, that the head would be equally compatible, just pop down in the square peg or square hole.
No.
Interesting.
Brainstorm wouldn't.
I think it's a little bit different size. Yeah, I've never tried to do that with mine. But...
And Brainstorm's neck is kind of very breakable too, with the
floppy,
way it's,
floppy, yeah. Very floppy. Yeah,
yeah.
He does this. Yeah,
well, I mean, it's just with all the neck breakage he had on the early Brainstorms, I wouldn't want to attempt it unless you know you could customize a figure just to hold that Headmaster.
Yeah.
It's a shame you can't have a plushie called Spider. That I could get Dan Gilbazan to sign, because being the old man of the group, I remember him as Peter Parker from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember him from that as much as I do Transformers.
Yeah, we didn't really want to tempt Marvel's
legal
department as much as we wanted to
risk with
Hasbro. So. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of kicked around the idea of maybe doing something Spider-Man-ish and Meanders. Kind of,
yeah, that is just,
that's a different dog. You don't want to provoke that one necessarily. Yeah. So,
crikey. Here's a dog. I'm going to poke it with a stick.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Well, what you could have done is made the full Headmaster head just all red and just have like just white patches on the sides, not even necessarily the eyes.
Yeah.
And then just call him like Spite O.R.
Yeah. Probably could have gotten away with that.
Something for next time.
Hindsight's 2020, yeah.
Maybe use a hyphen or something.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, let me ask you this. Uh-huh. I've always gone, you know, I'm big with BotCon. I started with the first BotCon. I've been to all the BotCons but one. Mm-hmm. And I've started branching out with TFCon, you know, last year with my first TFCon. What kind of unique headaches do you have creating, and Daniel, you can probably jump in on this too, creating a smaller convention? I would have to say it has its own unique things. What is behind the scenes, I guess, is what I'm asking for. What's it like doing a smaller fan base convention, and what unique stuff do you run into?
Mostly having a smaller fan base. You know, I think we're at the point now where we're getting more and more awareness for the show. I think there's a lot of people that have learned about us over the last few years, and we've definitely seen our attendance start to increase. But I don't know if it's just kind of our geographic location and people think, oh, it's Wichita, it can't be that great or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's kind of tough to convince people to travel to this kind of a convention. It's hard for us to draw in people, even if they're willing to travel. It's kind of like, well, but I've traveled to BotCon. Why should I travel to your show when it's a smaller show and I'm not going to see as much? I guess that's kind of our...
I mean, to be fair, like TFCon was in that same kind of rut, let's say like 2007, 2006-ish. Mm-hmm. But... I felt that, you know, I was going just like Don, I was going to almost every BotCon up to that point. And every time I was at BotCon, I was kind of like the hype machine. Oh, you know, like I was like at BotCon going, oh man, you got to come down to TFCon. You got to check this out and stuff. And, you know, and people would be like, Canada, Why would you go there?
Canada.
Why would you go to Canada? You know, but it grew. You know, you just got to kind of be your own marketing machine. Ignore the Wichita thing just as much as we had to ignore the Canada thing.
Right.
You know, and I almost feel like Wichita is a lot easier to sell than the Great White North.
Yeah. We're right in the middle of the country. I mean, we should be easy for everybody to get to. But
well, that's just it, and it's all really just in the hype. You know what I mean? Like I always say, find your strongest parts and play those up. Like with TFCon, it was the third party thing. You know what I mean? So whatever's your strongest thing, play that up. Mm-hmm. That's what I always say.
Well, yeah. Looking back with y'all two saying that, I mean, it strikes me as kind of odd that people are saying. Because you feel you're in the exact same boat. Because think about 1994, the first BotCon.
Oh, totally.
In Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, I took a huge risk flying. That's the first time I'd ever flown. The first I've been to several toy and comic conventions, but nothing of this distance. So I was using my only vacation week I had with my company for the entire year. I thought, this is either going to be awesome or this is going to really suck. Mm-hmm. So I went in with an open mind, and I've been going ever since because it's just been such a great experience. And if anyone's worried about this, BotCon started the exact same way.
Sure.
You know, in a ballroom, in a small convention center, in Indiana.
Yeah. Well, and they didn't have Twitter, Facebook, you know, a million websites. They had the news groups.
They had Lee's action figure and toy review.
Yes.
That's what they had.
Yeah, that's literally what they had, like the last two pages was their ad. I remember that.
So in 10 years, if I'm still alive, I want to see where y'all both are at in 10 years.
Well, that would be, me too.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. I mean, we're gonna keep going. As far as I know, we're gonna keep going as long as we can. And, you know, hopefully it continues to grow, and we'll just kind of keep doing our thing. So,
yeah, to kind of go off what Don was saying, you know, that was pretty well to their disadvantage to not have access to technology that, you know, today we take for granted, and that's something that has been such a godsend to so many groups such as TF. You know, TF Expo, BotCon, and all these others, is you're able to kind of reach out to your fan base. You're able to, kind of put yourself out there and get the exposure that, you know, wasn't out there before.
Right.
I'm originally from a small town, Paris, Illinois. It's just the other side of the Indiana state line there. So, I mean, it's like a 3.5-4 hour drive to Fort Wayne. And I didn't know about BotCon until, I think, 1997. And I'm like, people collect these things? What? I still got these. I still play with them. They're worth money.
Yeah.
But yeah, it blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God, a convention for this stuff. You know, my mom grew up a Trekkie. Okay.
Yeah.
She would come home from school. She would watch Dark Shadows. She would watch, you know, Star Trek and all these shows that were on back then. And so I knew they had Star Trek conventions, and, you know, I knew people were starting to kind of do the Star Wars thing as far as, you know, getting together and whatnot, but I would never dream Transformers, you know.
Right.
This is back in the days when we were still looking at things like, you know, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad and Toxic Crusaders and all this. You know, Transformers still had G2 and Beast Wars and all that going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's funny, we... you know, everybody here, we kind of take it for granted. Of course, there's Transformers conventions, you know, there have been for the past 20 years, but I kind of am reminded how, in some ways, it's an isolated fandom in some ways, because we do trade tables with the local anime convention, the local steampunk convention, and, you know, we talk about our show and that it's a Transformers convention, and we get some of the strangest looks from some of the strangest people. It's like Transformers convention. Why do people go to that kind of thing? And it's like
it's still in its infancy because the Bay movies really brought about a wider exposure that really did not exist since 1985.
That's true.
In terms of the peak of popularity. And I think the only time we even saw a peak of popularity even close to that was like 1997 Beast Wars, where it was the number one holiday toy. But otherwise, it was always something that's like, wow, like there's a huge fandom related to this. And it's always been very small where, you know, anime has always had a big following because it's been a whole genre. So it's very easy to get behind a whole genre. Same thing with a comic book convention. It's a whole genre, regardless of it, Marvel, DC, indie books, Top Cow, you know, Dark Horse. But to do a convention just about one property, if it wasn't like the big two, Star Wars, Star Trek, it almost sounded out of the question at the time. Yeah. So
even nowadays, when I talk to people that I know in my physical life, and I tell them where I go on vacation, and these are people that they've heard about the movies, they know that it's a thing that exists, and I get the exact same response. There's a Transformers convention, and they just can't believe there's something that people would go to that just for that and it not be a general toy show.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's changing and more people are being exposed to it, so it'll become more of a thing into itself and not just a surprise to everybody.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of I think the way we look at it, we're almost kind of ambassadors for the brand in some sort of way, because we're I guess, you know, and you guys are too, certainly on a bigger scale with TFCon, but you know, there's people that come to our show that have never been to a Transformers
what you're doing and it's like, because I find that BotCon is a lot more expensive, so it's not the easiest way to get into it,
right?
You know, even at an entry level, whether it be a one-day admission, could be very expensive. So when you have a convention that's a Transformer convention, but you have an entry level of $10 at the door for the day or 15, it's a lot easier for people to, you know, to have their cherry popped, so to speak, and really understand what goes on, where it's very hard to turn to someone and say, yeah, I go to BotCon every year. Why don't you come with? And you see the $410 Primus package and they go, whoo, okay, good luck with that, you know. Yeah. So,
well, you know,
the smaller shows is always it's an easier in, because I know, especially with even TFCon today, there's constantly new faces that are like, oh, this is my first one, and it's very easy for it to be the first one when it's affordable, when it's, you know, you can take a chance on it, you know.
Yeah,
and the good thing is the smaller cons, like a TF Expo, as it becomes more prevalent, other cons can open up with their smaller niches and sort of, like, for example, I didn't know, but there's been a gym convention for several years that I didn't know. Yay. There was a Gargoyles convention that I didn't know.
You said gym. I'm sorry, I thought you said gym.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so under the umbrella that is collecting, there are so many one focus things like Gem or Gargoyles or SWAT Cat with there being a new Kickstarter.
Yes.
And then they can have their own conventions and using the models that you and TFCon are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that'll help everybody.
Exclusive clothing. Don't ask.
Really?
I went with someone else. Don't judge me.
No, I wouldn't judge you.
To be fair, I thought that if there'd be boy toys, I'd have the monopoly. You know? I was wrong. There was very few boy toys, but it was an experience. But we'll save that for another podcast.
That's a matter of your interpretation of the.
Yeah, it was an experience. Let's put it that way.
But, you know, but like I said, that'll be good that other people that are in these more narrowly focused fandoms can say, hey, if they did it, why can't we? And that's going to be good for everybody.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Probably yeah, it's always good.
I was going to say, I think conventions in general, I think, are in kind of a growth period right now. I know just in the Wichita area, we've had two Comic-Cons start just in the past couple of years, just since we've been doing TF Expo. So I guess there's the danger that you're going to have a bubble at some point, and there's going to be too many conventions in one smaller area. But but nice thing is, you know, we all kind of help each other out and do trade tables at each other's events and try to give each other as much exposure as we can.
So. Well, let me ask you this, like in the Wichita area, how common is conventions in general? Let's say like the average comic convention or something. Is it a common thing or are you really breaking ground in one sense?
Well, we've got, like I said, just those two Comic-Cons have started in the past year or two, and we really didn't have a Comic-Con of any kind.
So there you go. So in a lot of ways, you're also just bringing that kind of entertainment locally that just didn't exist before.
Because
the one thing that was at least successful with TFCon, whether it be Toronto or the Chicago USA show, was we were bringing it to areas that already – had that traffic, already right. had that market. There already was big conventions in Toronto, sure. big conventions. So what you're doing, you have a little more of a difficult mountain to climb because right. in a lot of ways, I don't want to say no one's ever done it before, but it's mm-hmm. it's not that market yet. But it could grow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, one of our obstacles with Wichita is that it's expensive to fly in and out of. I think we're just the right distance from any particular hubs like Dallas or Denver or anything else that it's like you've got to take, you know, a multiple leg flight to get here, which is weird because, like I said, we're right in the middle of the country. We're known as the air capital, but it's expensive to fly in and out. And that's another obstacle for putting our show together, too, of course, because we've got to fly guests in and out. So, but, you know, it's just one of those challenges. We kind of, at least we know what we're dealing with and we kind of address it as we have to.
Every year. There's even TFCon after all these years, there's always a learning curve for everything.
Sure.
You do a new idea, mistakes happen, you learn from
right.
it. What I always suggest, have a Q&A at the end. Learn, you know, let people
yes.
be, because we always had that and there's always criticism. Whether it be good criticism or bad, there always is criticism and we do listen to it. So
yeah, and we do our organizers.
It's something that's important.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Phil, I'm going to ask you, what is the one thing that you're, when you get to be big enough, what's the one thing that you want to do that you can't quite do yet? Just like a goal that you want to.
Well, I want to, you know, obviously we'll be able to add more voice actors as we go. And I think I'd really like to be able to do, you know, like a theme of voice actors. Like, I mean, even if it's just two or three together, do like a Beast Wars year where we do, I'm sure everybody's going to try to do that next year with the Beast Wars 20th anniversary. But,
definitely.
Do like a Transformers animated year where we get, you know, Councilman Coleman and David Kay and everybody. So I think, you know, you talk to playing to your strengths. I think we do pretty well with guests. They seem to enjoy the time that they spend here. They seem to always sell a lot of autographs and enjoy interacting with the fans. I think, you know, one thing that we can offer that the larger cons can't is we can offer them a little bit more time and a little bit more intimate experience with the guests, just because there's not hundreds of people standing in line to meet them. They can kind of greet and interact with them a little bit more than they can at the bigger cons. So
definitely.
So that's one strength of our show, and I'd like to continue building on that.
I definitely agree with that. For instance, just this past year was the first time I'd been to BotCon since 2008 in Cincinnati when they debuted Animated, which was new at the time. Mm-hmm. And with this year's show, I had the Primus package and the Frank Welker experience. And I previously hadn't bought any of the you know upper packages before, so this was a kind of a new thing for me. And the way everything was scheduled, I understand why they had to schedule the way they did, with Frank having such a busy schedule and all. But I was so busy doing this and then doing this and then doing this and trying to get everything straight and make sure I got all my bases covered, I actually ended up missing out on the Frank Welker photo op. by like 40 minutes. Mm. And once I got to looking at my paper, I felt my soul just leave my body. I was like, oh my God. And that was one downside, because, you know, I was worried about this and worried about this and worried about all, you know, all these different things, that I lost sight of, you know, one of the main ones for that Frank Welker experience. I got his autograph. I got to, you know, meet him, shake sure. his hand and all that, just as I did with Sue and with John. Mm-hmm. But I think the rush of it, or the feeling of urgency, the sense of urgency, right. I think kind of complicated matters just a bit. I lost track of what I was doing and missed out on that as a result. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably have him again later on.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it's Frank Welker.
Yeah.
He seemed to have enjoyed his experience there. He was on fire there at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes.
For his induction. So I'm going to guarantee he will be back. But I mean, that was kind of a downside.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But something else I wanted to mention is you brought up how next year is going to be an anniversary year, mm-hmm. specified, you know, Beast Wars, which is you know, up to a lot of people, their G1.
Sure.
You know, it's one of the biggest series. But what I think
might be some old.
But what I think might be something to take out of left field, the Beast Machine mm-hmm. joke, is maybe the RID 1.0 anniversary that's also that year.
Yeah, that's true.
Anniversary of that, because I don't think people are really looking at that old series.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't think it's anywhere on anybody's radar.
It's also the 30th.
Well, I know you are.
It's also the 30th anniversary of
the movie, yeah.
GoBots in Japan, which was called Machine Robo. It's going to be the 30th anniversary of their anime series, and that's why there's going to be a kind of like a masterpiece line, if we'll call it that.
You don't need to hear anything else about it.
Yeah, I know, eh, Don? Shit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's teased like crazy, but we're going to probably hear more next year.
Well, it was like masterpiece. You know, it took 3 years to get that figure arts out from G Gundam, so it's...
Yeah. But, yeah, so there's also going to be that, so that's another thing to play up, if anything. Yeah.
Plus the animated movie from 86, too.
That too, also.
So, I mean, they could go the 86 route, they could go the Beast Wars route. I mean, it's hard telling. But I really think RID 1.0 might be a good direction to head, because I don't think anybody else is going to do it.
Yeah,
but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to see Neil Kaplan again in person.
Yeah.
He was so much fun that the 1 year he was at BotCon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about trying to bring him in, so he's on a list of potential people to reach out to. So that would be fun. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. 15th anniversary of RID. So. Yeah, I like that idea.
Good old Optimus.
Yeah.
So speaking of voice actors, so you did say you had Dan Gilbazan there. Uh-huh. Was
But he's, you know, he's here this year, yeah.
Yeah, so... Good Lord. I lost my train of thought.
His astral train of thought derailed.
It very much did.
Yes.
So, are you having a panel, or is it a signing, a booth with him? What are you offering to your?
Well, we'll do. We're going to do autograph times with him, and then we'll do the standard voice actor panel, and then we're going to do a panel with him and Buzz together, because the panel that we did with Greg Berger and Flint Dilley together in 2013 was really good. We just called it G1 Memories, and we kind of just put them down together in a panel, and they just kind of went on for an hour, and it was very entertaining. So hopefully, you know, lightning will strike twice, and Dan and Buzz will give us some good memories this time.
Sure. Now, Dan Gilbazan, is he featured in Transformers Devastation? I don't recall.
He's supposed to be, yeah.
Okay, I was thinking he was, but I couldn't remember for sure. I know Greg Berger was coming back as Grimlock, and of course Frank and Pete.
All the original G1 voice actors are scheduled to be in it, with the exception, obviously, of Chris Latta for Wheeljack and Starscream.
Oh, sure.
And actually, according to John Machia, he said in a panel at TF that he is in talks with them also. So that might mean something. So
could be for the cool station, and it could be for the upcoming Machinima Combiner Wars series too.
Oh, that's true too. It could be that. Yeah, he said he was doing something video game related for Transformers. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be it then.
That's why. But yeah, so far it's all the original actors up to this point, yeah. Except for the ones that are not breathing anymore.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I've got pretty high hopes for that Machinima series. I hope they do go back and get some G1 voice actors for that, because obviously if it's fan targeted and the fans really care about the voice actors, I think that'd be one way to appease some people and get some attention for that.
Yeah. Well, this isn't really related. It's kind of related on it's a tangent. But you were talking about getting the right voice actors. Mm-hmm. I saw today at my local Toys R Us that supersized Robots in Disguise Bumblebee.
Runs about
$50 US.
Yeah.
It is not the Will Wheaton voice.
No.
And if they don't get the actor that does the voice in one of their flagship shows for a new target age group for their $50 toy on the shelf, Are they going to spring the money necessary to get some of these people that we want to hear? That's kind of worries me right there.
To be fair, I mean, our original G2, Megatron, and Optimus didn't exactly have their original voices.
I know, but that's true. But it's a whole different
toy market and voices. I mean, we were very lucky to have a Gary Chalk with an Air Attack Optimus Prime
in
our ID. But I mean, that is always a fluke. I mean, even movie toys, a lot of them don't feature Peter Cullen's voice. They usually feature the janitor at Hasbro that was recording the voice at the time.
That's what I was going to say is think back to like 2007. In the Optimus Prime helmet, you had the one voice, and then you also had the Peter Cullen variant.
Yeah, there was two versions.
And both were out on the shelves simultaneously. The same product, but different voice actors in them.
I don't really think there's a correlation there.
Right. Well, it just seems to me that with Hasbro and the other companies, knowing that the fan base is small, I'm just saying it just seems like since they're doing so much for the fan base, is knowing what we look for in a toy, and a $50 price point toy not having the right voice seems like it's kind of a bad decision.
Right away,
budgetary.
You have to understand something, Don. Like, and Hasbro has also established this too. RID isn't.
Isn't
the demographic for the collector market.
Like, I know.
Actually, they've established like RID is the gateway market for the younger fan that isn't the Rescue Bots market, which is the play school thing. And if a Generations toy didn't make that effort, I think your argument would be more valid. But the RID toys it's different. Their whole construction, the fact that they have a cell phone device kind of play pattern, is more leading to the fact that they're trying to get a new group of people that don't play with toys. This is the kid that has the iPad device, downloads the app for free online, and then in the app goes, hey, want to unlock more characters? Buy this toy. They buy the toy. They become addicted. That's the play pattern. They're getting those kids that normally weren't buying toys.
Right.
So RID, unfortunately, kind of exists in a different marketing and play pattern product that isn't aimed. I mean, yeah, hey, me and you collect those, granted, yes, but we're not the target demographic like Generations toys
are. It just seems to me that if you have a toy that's $50 on the shelf and you want to make sure that when that toy gets in the hands of your target audience, you want them to enjoy that toy and have a good experience. But when they press that button and it doesn't sound like Bumblebee, that can also convey some negative connotation
If I think back being to a kid, I could care less if it sounded like the voice actor.
Yeah, it didn't bother me with G2 Prime. It didn't bother me with Megatron Attack.
But kids are a lot smarter.
But
kids are a lot smarter nowadays too. So I'm just saying the way the market's changing. That seems like that would be a fault you would not want to risk.
It's a whole other topic. It's a lot deeper explanation than just that. There's a lot that goes into that than just like a $50 price point, oversized, whatever Supreme toy, whatever that class is. It's let under.
It's a funky class.
it's its own thing. Giant. But that's a whole other topic, in all honesty. We're here to talk about TF Expo.
I was going to say, as it comes to the Machinima show, though, you also have to think about how much input Machinima as a channel has into that series, and how much input Hasbro is actually having, and who is it that has to go out and get the voice actors? If it's Hasbro, they have more sway.
The voice director.
If it's Machinima, you know, who are they going to be able to get? We don't know.
For something that's possibly not going to be selling commercials, you know, you have to consider the budget, like how, you know, what funds this animation. Is it just a commercial to sell the toys, so they're banking on that, if that's the case? And there's been Flash animations in the past that were official, that were done by Hasbro, where it wasn't the original voice actors.
They were always real to me.
There's been a lot of stuff that existed like that, that, you know, if, like, let's put it this way. Would you want the animation to be really good, or would you want it to have Peter Cullen, Michael Bell, Frank Welker, and Dan Gilbazon? You know, you have to balance the budget there, too.
Yeah.
So,
given that it's Machinima, I'm thinking that they will probably have a lot more at their disposal, resources monetary. I don't know. Astro Train of Thought again. But I think Machinima, together with Hasbro, I think the animation will probably be of a decent standard, and that they will be able to get maybe not every one of them, but they'll probably get a fair amount of the original voice actors, or at least Pete and Frank.
As long as they don't kill off Bazooka off panel again.
Yeah.
All right. So that tangent
aside.
Renegades
reference.
I like Bazooka.
That tangent aside, so of course we're all Transformers fans for toys. So what do you want to tell us about the dealer room? Any dealers in particular that are showing up that are of note?
Well, we're pretty excited to have Captured Prey on board this year.
Great service.
Yes, I've always enjoyed dealing with them in the past, so it'll be great to have them at our show. They seem pretty excited to come, and we're excited to have them there, obviously. We do have Dub K Toys is going to have a pretty big booth there. They're actually based here in Wichita, but they're a pretty loyal dealer with TF Expo, and they've got a lot of fan base, too. They do a lot of third-party stuff, so excited to have them on board. We've got Prairie Dog Comics here in town is actually our guest sponsor, so they're sponsoring Buzz Dixon and Matt Frank. So we're doing the event with them on Sunday to kind of follow up the convention. So they actually purchased a pretty large G1 collection about a year ago. So I'm sure they're going to be bringing that to the show. And that's going to be the most packed dealer room we've had for sure. We actually have had this ballroom is sectional, and we've had two sections in the past devoted to the dealer room, and then we used the third room for something else. We're actually opening up all three sections this year for the dealer room. So
awesome.
Kind of
fantastic.
Kind of expanding there. So I'll be excited just to shop in the dealer room myself. I don't know if I'll have time to run the convention. We might have to let some other people do that. But
you'll be excited. Your wallet will not.
Yeah, exactly.
Well Phil,
My wife will not.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this, Phil. When you get a chance to go to the dealer room, what's the one thing you're looking for?
In our dealer room, I'll probably have my list. I don't know. I don't have like a holy grail right at the moment. I've kind of scaled back on the G1 stuff, and I kind of pick up the Hasbro stuff as it comes out. I do a little bit of Takara Tomy, a little bit of third party, but that's kind of more on the side just as I can afford it. So, but I always am on the lookout for deals, and there's always kind of this list of things that's like, well, if I see a good deal on that someday, then I'll go after it, but there's not any one thing I'm probably trying to zero in on.
So no Lyokaiser gift set or Dino?
No, that's usually a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, unfortunately. I wish it weren't, but, you know. So
that's something Morrison would have in his table, though.
Yeah, probably would.
Because he had Dino King at BotCon. I held it.
Yeah.
Dino King gift set.
Yeah, he's going to be bringing, speaking of Orson, he's going to be bringing some third-party prototypes on out of the show. So we'll actually be able to display some new product there. So looking forward to that. I don't remember specifically exactly what all he's bringing. I think there was some Mastermind and maybe some Fans Project. I don't want him to speak on that. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what he brings. New, being able to roll out third-party products on display would be, I guess that's another goal for the show. Like I said, I'd like to be able to expand our voice actor offerings per year, but I'd really like to kind of become known as a place that third parties can come and display their product. I know TFCon's kind of made its footprint that way, so it would be nice to have that happen with our show as well.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like there's a new third-party company every week. It's so they're bursting at the seams. They need to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'd love to have some of that happen at our show.
In fact, there's probably another third-party one just now.
Yeah. Right. During this podcast, one formed. Yeah.
Right.
I keep saying, come out with third-party Beast Wars figures. You got my money.
Yeah.
I think next year you're going to actually see a lot more.
Yep.
We haven't had many recently, but we do have that new Lyo Convoy coming
Leonidas.
Out. Yeah. Right, thank you. I can remember the name. So, you know, I'm hoping we'll see a lot, you know, if we get a, third party Masterpiece Retracts.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that Masterpiece Primal. I'm definitely going to pick that one up. Oh. And then we'll have to bring Gary Chalk back so he can autograph it for me.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But we're going to have to decide, is it going to be molded or flocked?
Oh, we don't know.
I don't know.
Be the Mossman debate all over again.
Yeah.
Okay, now no. I'm imagining Primal with fuzzy underwear. Nice.
Underoos.
Beast mode. Not that beast mode. Wrong one. Abort.
Yeah.
I want the fuzzy Prime.
And I'm now picturing Optimus Prime running around in underoos.
If I can't brush it, I'm not happy. Yeah.
Intro quote.
Fantastic.
Oh.
All right. So, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about TF Expo?
Not really. Just thank you guys for your support in the last couple of years, and thank all the fans who come out every year. I hope we see some new people this year, and hope to see some of the old ones too. And we're just in it to have fun, basically. That's why we started and why we're continuing. So we'll keep going as long as we can, and hope to have a great show this year.
I want to double check. When was that exactly again?
August 14th and 15th, Friday and Saturday.
So it's almost here.
Yeah, just a couple weeks away, 2 weeks from today. Yeah.
Nice.
I got a lot to do.
Now, have y'all got walk-ins available? Or?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we've got general admission available. Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't know about it and you want to go now, you can still walk in.
You can still walk in, yep. And we're selling discount tickets through a couple of the stores in town, the Prairie Dog Comics that I mentioned, and then the Borough is kind of like a geek gift shop here in town that is selling discount tickets for us also. So, yeah, a lot of different ways you can attend, so I hope we see a lot of people there.
Well, I hope you have a huge crowd. I hope it's busting at the seams, successful, and it just lets you do bigger and better things next year.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're hoping to, like I said, be able to continue as long as we can and get a little bigger and better every year. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, do you have any do you have anything going on in the way of cosplay?
We do actually. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. We do have a cosplay contest every year, and the Borough donates a gift certificate to the winners. So, and then we've got a couple other prizes. I think we do first, second, and third prize for that. So. That'll be we don't have a pre-registration for the cosplay contest, but we have a walk-up registration for that. When you do your admission or when you check in for pre-registration for the show, you can register for the cosplay contest. So We had a – actually, I've got a video that I put together. I keep meaning to post. We had a pretty good cosplay contest last year. We had a couple girls that did More Than Meets the Eye, Cyclonus, and Tailgate, which was pretty cool. I need to post pictures of that. But we and then we had a couple other gals who did Age of Extinction, Crosshairs, and Drift. So, yeah, it was just kind of a fun all-over-the-place cosplay contest. But, yeah.
Fantastic.
A lot of fun. Well, when you get that video... We are doing it again.
When you get that video up, send it our way. We'll put it up on the...
I will, yeah. I just was looking for music for it. It's basically edited, so I'll try to get that up tomorrow. We'll definitely share it.
We got several cosplayers on our cast that
are
really interested in that.
Yeah, awesome. yeah, we're trying to hit all the different aspects we can. So, yeah, we've got our we do our script contest every year too, where you can actually write a script for the dinner script reading that we do on Saturday night. So we've got a pretty good script that we've chosen for that this year that'll be starring again as Bumblebee, of course, and then we pick voice actors from the attendees who get to fill in the other roles.
So. Well, see, you're already doing something I've asked them to do at BotCon for several years, is to have like a writer's contest. Because, you know, I can't draw, I can't craft, I suck at dioramas, but I can write.
Yeah.
You know, so that's cool. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, well, you should enter next year.
I mean,
when are you going to write the TFYLP radio opera?
Oh, that's starring Rodimus Primal.
Yes,
exactly.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Do I get to climb the balcony?
You'll be lucky if we let you in the building.
Oh, come on. Just because I showed up in a leotard.
Oh, God. Check, please.
I would picture any of you guys in a leotard.
Hey, at least it was fuzzy.
that's like being a Speedo. Yeah. Some things we need to think about.
It's not a Rodimus play if you're not wearing a nice pair of moose skin underwear.
I think there's laws about that. I'm thinking.
About wearing Speedos or about wearing moose skin?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, where did they ever come up with the idea for the He-Man furry underwear? I never figured that out. I guess it's supposed to look like a loincloth, but it doesn't really. It's just kind of its own weird thing.
Of course,
we skin animals and wear them as underwear. Why wouldn't we?
The kind of the standard barbarian caveman-ish
Speedo.
It was supposed to be a Conan the Barbarian line that became He-Man, so its roots are grounded in that.
Oh, goodness.
No, it makes more sense that way.
So, furry underwear aside, goodness. All right, well, so you can all go, now what was the location again? It's
It's in Wichita, Kansas.
And at the
it's at the Holiday Inn East I-35 location at the location of Kellogg Road and Rock Road in Wichita, Kansas.
All right, so if anyone's around there and wants to go have a good time, meet up with some fans, I mean, it's even with Transformers becoming bigger and bigger, it's still so many people out there don't realize how many fans there are, and they think they're isolated and alone. So, it's always fun to show up to one of these things and just hang out. Smaller, more intimate settings. Always great place
absolutely.
To make new friends.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to move. We want to thank you for having you on, and you're welcome to stay with us as we move on. And we're going to talk about some third-party stuff. And
I wish I could stick around, but I think I probably better jet at this point. But I really appreciate you guys having me on board.
Right. So, we appreciate
it
having
great.
You.
Great. A lot of fun and very informative.
Yeah. So, like I said, be sure you join our script contest next year. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
So. I might do that.
Okay.
Yeah. right. Well, thanks. Right. Thanks for being on the show, and we hope you have a great convention.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Take care, Phil.
All
take
right. Care. You too.
Thanks.
All right,
that's
guys.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. I hope everybody has a great time. As long as it's gonna be a real, really great convention.
Yes. Yeah, I've always enjoyed kind of the smaller convention atmosphere anyway, because you get too many people, and it kind of sucks the fun away because you're too congested, you're hot, you know, just like being stuck in a line at Walmart. You know, I'm sorry, the line at Walmart, the one lane they have open.
Well, you know, and the good thing about that show is that they've got some and the dealer's room is not only going to be bigger than normal, they're going to have a lot of the well-known people like Capture Prey, who is one of our sponsors, and also they deal with a lot of the third-party items. So if when you see the stuff, when you go to TF Expo and you see all these prototypes, be sure to check out Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. They'll probably have pre-order information up as soon as it's available. And also, don't forget Mega Toy Fan. He deals a lot of the earlier stuff as well. So that way, if you're looking for something vintage, parts, or a full figure, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection, minimize your price. Mega Toy Fan on Facebook as well.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on, third-party and news, because there's been a few things come out today, and the most concerning involves this guy.
Yes, yes.
So
that is a potential heartbreak.
Yeah, and so some have found that, oh, gosh dang. So some have found that good old Mixmaster here is a bit fragile, where he tilts at the ankle for Devastator. And I'm looking at mine right now, and I see stress marks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna pull a picture up here, but what do you guys think about this?
Well, I was looking at it. I don't actually have the figure yet myself. I'm, you know, combination poor, and also I haven't seen it locally, like, anywhere. But from the images I've seen, it looks as though it's Mixmaster's hip that's attempting to ram up through his pelvis when you pivot that too far. And as a result, you end up cracking or even snapping off the one side of his pelvis just above the ball joint. I guess whenever you get transformed there, Don, or... there's the picture there. Actually, that's the one.
I was trying to check mine and see if I saw any. I can't tell if that's a stress mark or if it's just some flash in the same area.
Looks like a fracture.
That's a fracture. That's a break in the plastic. Definitely.
No, I mean on mine.
On yours. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just I got a little bit of a discoloration there. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I've only done my ankle tilt two notches. So I haven't even used the full ankle tilt, so I'm not sure.
That's pretty much what I'm seeing too, is just a little bit of discoloration there.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would have thought nothing of it except for seeing this picture.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, I don't think I'm going to be tilting his ankle any further than I am right now.
I wonder, do you suppose it could be one of two factors? I mean, the given being, you know, someone trying to tilt the ankle too far by force and forcing a toy obviously can break it. And that's with anything. But do you suppose it could be maybe due to the weight of the Devastator figure as a whole?
No.
On that one area?
There was recently a translated interview with Shogo, who was the guy who helped design it. And people who aren't familiar with Shogo, he's the guy who's actually also behind all our recent Masterpiece stuff.
Okay.
And he said that he was the one, when he went into this, he kind of designed it with the intent of a lot of Masterpiece engineering.
Uh-huh.
And I think that in the process of doing that, where there is a lot of articulation, a lot of areas for the combined robot mode, you have to understand as much as that price point might seem expensive that we're paying for Devastator, it really is like six Voyagers, mm-hmm. Which is kind of cheap when you think about it, when it's six Voyagers for what you're paying. So there's probably some areas where they had to be a little more skimpy with the plastic, and the purple plastic in that area is a little thinner. But that being said, so far we've only really had one case of this. You know, it's not like a gold plastic syndrome thing where we have a whole bunch of people with broken, you know, Beast Wars Grimlocks and Transmetal Megatrons.
Yeah, true.
So I think so until more people come forward with this, because I mean, so far this hasn't happened to mine, but yeah, I haven't really finicked with it that much to the point that would happen. So until this becomes more, you know, until a second person comes forward and says, yeah, this has happened to me too, it's more of a light warning than it is a common issue right now.
Yeah, the figure's just now starting to come out to retail, and it really hit saturation in different markets. So maybe we'll see this as time goes on and as the figure becomes more and more common.
Yeah.
Although this could be a possible cause for more people to seek out that third-party cement mixer. I can't remember the name of it.
Mixmaster.
The not Mixmaster.
Oh, yeah.
The actual name of the figure. Dr. Wu, I think, is the one that's producing this.
Yeah.
I almost wondered, do you suppose the same issue may exist for Scrapper? Is there any sort of similarity in the ankle joint there?
I have to go get it.
Yeah, I don't have it to look at it, but one ankle has it, the other might. In some way.
So if you look at here at Mixmaster, his ankle tilt is sort of contained within
the arms. Torso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, within that torso, and so it doesn't really come out of it as much as it just moves within it. Where over here, because it's sort of the full torso is up here, and it's just moving in here.
Yeah, there's less stress on
body,
it.
Yeah, it's mostly just tilting. Like they even have like a perfect little gap there for it, so it's not really.
Now those gaps are they
going to fall into the same problem?
Or is it just on the one side?
It's just on the one side, so his ankle
can't tilt out.
His ankle tilts only tilts in the one direction for both legs.
Okay.
If you try to tilt them the other way, you're going to have a bad time.
Did not expect that. I figured it would have been symmetrical.
But yeah, so I'm not entirely concerned. I mean, I'm at the point where I pose them just a little bit when I open them up, and then I stick them in the shelf in the way I want them to look.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how they stay. But it is, for those who do like to take dynamic poses, you know, dynamic pictures with these guys or pose them in very dynamic sort of displays, it might turn out to be more of an issue for them.
Yeah, I think you are right. We'll just have to wait and see what more people find as they get them in their collections.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and get some more numbers out there.
It's like that with any Transformer toys. Like we're just learning now of movie toys that have brittle issues, you know, after – I mean, especially because so many fans just open them, mess with them once, then it sits on the shelf for years. And, I mean, only now, like there was reports – this was recently – Legends Scorponok from the 2007 movie, like it's like gold plastic now.
Really?
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, I never.
It takes time. Yeah, don't go back and mess with it, because then I checked mine. Yeah, it's brittle. It just takes someone just going back and taking a look at it over a period of times. And this is such a fresh toy right now, so.
So looking at it from a distance, you're shuffling across the room, and it just goes.
Well, nice. Pretty sure drop tests were part of it.
I was always pretty worried about that that movie preview Starscream.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how is that thing not just piles of dust on shelves right now?
Oddly enough, that one seems to not have an issue. They got, like, practically every movie toy ever made, sadly.
Well, when that figure came out, it came out as its own issue because it looked like a literal flaming turd. You got the entry mode. It's brownish in color. Has the flame out the back. You know, you want to just put it in a paper sack and sit it on someone's doorstep. I like the Prime, though. I thought the Prime was pretty good.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's always interesting because they swore up and down that they had solved that gold plastic problem. Like, I can't remember how long ago, but then you had, like, the Star Wars Chewbacca and Han Solo set, and Chewbacca's, like, just turning into dust already.
Because he has, like, the BPS. He has, like, brown plastic syndrome.
Yeah, he's got that.
Similar to what Transmetal Megatron has.
Oh, yeah. I just recently, I was very gently, when I got my Detolfs, dusting him to put him into the Detolf so I never had to touch him again. And I sheared both of his arms off. Like,
oh, my God.
I was like, no!
And you know what's nuts? Because, like, that's a toy that, like, when I broke mine, I was like, okay, I'll just buy a new one off of eBay. I bought a new one off of eBay. It was sent to me in the mail, and it broke in transit. And then I was just like...
Yeah, at this
I'm just
point,
getting the Takara one. Yeah. Forget this.
It's like, at this point, I'm resigned to... You know, I'm going to buy an MISB and just...
Get the Takara one. It's not as show accurate, but it doesn't have that problem.
Well, there's always Armada.
Or that one.
Yeah, I have Predacon, so like if I want to play with one, I have one I can play with.
There you go.
we're joined by a face we haven't seen in a while.
And a face we didn't want to see.
Yeah, I know, right? Speak for What's yourself up? There, Don.
What's up, man?
Not much. I am feeding off my phone's Wi-Fi, so I hope this doesn't decide to just completely tank on me.
And he's gone.
Oh. Well, speaking of GPS, I got a really good question. Have any of you guys owned Stax?
Yes.
He really looks like he does possibly have it. Is that true or not?
I haven't transformed my stacks in years. He's been sitting at the shelf.
He looks swirly.
I used to have the GoBot stacks, but...
Well, this is the European.
That's actually a better toy. That's actually a better toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
That one... It's...
Yeah, I've never had that.
I've transformed them recently to display them. I've never had problems with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I look at it, I'm like...
All the UK stuff's over there.
I'm like, is that going to break? Is that not going to break? I don't know. I don't know. Is he a GPS bot? That's my question. I mean, I don't know.
It's, you know what it is? There's certain ones that even if they have the gold plastic, it's thick enough that it doesn't break. A good example is the feet of Thunderclash. Like it's just this solid brick of it that, I mean, in theory, it should shatter, but it doesn't. Same thing, like, even Black Zarek. There's a lot of sensitive areas on it, but a lot of it, like his toes and stuff, they're just such a solid piece of gold plastic that it's not going to break. It's more like anyone who has Laser Rod Electro and ever transformed him.
Oh, God.
Like, his knees, forget about it. That's like a small piece of gold plastic that'll break like nothing. Or even recently now... Armada Optimus Prime, the leader one.
Yeah.
This guy?
The elbows.
You want to call it. Yeah, that guy right there.
This guy. I have never transformed it. I have never transformed it.
Don't you dare.
I'm afraid to.
Skating on thin ice with that one. That's a very dangerous
one. It's such a beautiful mold with somebody, for the love of God, reproduce this thing.
I know what you're saying about the Armada Prime, though. One that I had before, I had it was the left elbow. That hinge snapped
super mode
as well as the left ear on the super mode head. Both were gold plastic or goldish.
Do you guys know if any of the silver has any issues or not?
No, it's The way that of those colors, specifically brown and the you know the bronzish gold, emulated in the plastic shards into it, and those shards create oxygen gaps. Those oxygen gaps over time create small fractures, and then over time it expands and expands. It's like when our Beast Wars Grimlocks were breaking, we had our Mod Optimus Prime and nothing was wrong with it. Now we have our toys today. We're looking back at our Mod Optimus Prime and going, oh, what the hell's going on? Who knows what it's going to be in the future? We might be messing with, Dark of the Moon, not Dark of the Moon, there might be something fragile on him one day, you know, but it might be like 10 years from now. So,
or what is it? Goldfire, Generations one.
It's something that could be so subtle that we don't pay attention. Even the head, I'm looking right now. The head of Masterpiece Sunstorm, the Hasbro release. You know, like it's you never know. You never know. It could be anything. Like like again, the recent report was that Legend Scorponok from the movie line, and no one would have thought of that back then. Why is his tail falling apart and everything? So no one thinks about it.
My Pyro actually many years ago I was transforming him, and I didn't realize that he had gold plastic inside the waist for the mechanism. Yeah,
the peg finished. Many of them are like that.
Yeah, he snapped in half and became a Duocon.
Nice.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I really worry about like my generation's Rhinox. Not so much about GPS, but just you know, he has all those rubberized pieces, and what is going to happen to those pieces?
The secret to actually taking care of those when you have figures that have rubber is you got to keep them out of areas that have a lot of steam or moisture. Because
I live in Florida.
Oh man, you're in that room or something. Because a very good example, like the old school equivalency of it is if anyone who owns Monster Pretender shells, like specifically what Dino King is and Monstroctor, like that's just it. So if you're in any kind of environment that really has moisture in it or any like a humid heat, what happens is the rubber inside the core of the rubber, there's moisture, which makes it rubbery. It comes to the surface and then it starts to, like Don said, it leaks. And then after it leaks, it then dries out and then it becomes the most brittle, dangerous thing ever. And when you're talking like those Monster Pretenders, like what Jason has over there, he has bristleback right there. When you have to like force the Pretender robot in there where it's supposed to be rubbery, instead it's just going to crack in half. Like it actually like splits. And I've seen the leaking I've seen on mint on card Monster Pretenders, which is crazy. Like they're sealed mint on card, but the oxygen still gets through. They gets through the back of the card. Just because the front is plastic doesn't mean the back is not going to have any oxygen through the cardboard. And I've seen where it leaks inside the card backs. And then I've seen people where they've actually like they could like almost like ripping a piece of pita in half. Like it just rips, like that same kind of consistency, rips right in half because it dries out, and it's crazy, like those ones. And that's, you're talking up to Rhinox when he becomes a 25-year-old toy, where he's going to be at that point. So it really, from what we've learned from the Monster Pretenders, it really is a environment kind of thing.
Hopefully we'll have Masterpiece Rhinox at that point.
Another one a lot of folks don't think about is like, you know, your Generation 2 laser rods and these guys.
Which one?
Action Masters.
These guys
and those actually suffer from the same thing G.I. Joes do with the rubber band in the middle.
But luckily with those, though, is they actually have – and I've had to fix a few Action Masters in the past. They have the exact same O-ring as G.I. Joe's. And you could go to your local hardware store and buy O-ring bungs for your sinks, and they work perfectly with them. And I've done that actually a few times. I had to fix my Action Master Optimus Prime. His snapped. All the other ones held up pretty well. But that one specifically, I remember it busted. And – I realized that the G.I. Joe ones work perfectly fine, so you could actually use those.
Yeah, there's one other thing.
There's another thing I've noticed though with Action Masters is the because it's got a metal portion that goes between the hips. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will round out and destroy the joint.
Yeah.
So it'll get to the point that it doesn't want to hold. I got an Axor that's like that, unfortunately. And I'm really not sure exactly how to fix that. Maybe take like a heat gun or something like that and try to remold the plastic, but not hit it real hard.
Well,
just enough. But that's about the only thing I can think
of. Another way is also to take out the joint and put nail polish in it, like a clear nail polish or something. It then thickens the joint and then let it dry, and then you can plop it back in, and it actually fixes that problem a little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
Well, I mean, I've tried it with the clear nail polish. It doesn't work. It's too far gone. So I think it's just going to be some slight remolding you have to do. But it's on the inside of the hips. So, I mean, you're not really going to see much in the molding if you ended up having to do a slight modification like that in order to repair some of them. Because I know guys out there that do collect these. There's some out there that hate these. The same thing with, like, the Pretenders and stuff. Some people don't like those, but I still dig these things. I think they're awesome. But they're, like Dan was saying, I mean, those things, they are repairable. It's just knowing how to do it. But there's some that's just
can't do. Tons of G1s trying to salvage them.
I can't remember if we've done one or not, but if we haven't, we really one day should do a how to repair your old toys.
Oh God. 8485.
That was a huge
8485. Man, you want to there is more parts inside an 8485 transformer than there is on the outside. Like there's gears and metal plates. Like
springs.
The inside.
It's like the TARDIS.
Has like a plate in there. There's all kinds of stuff that you don't see. Same thing. Like even here, the crotch area. There's like springs and joints that when you open this thing up, it just goes everywhere. Those ones are a mess. After 86, 87, 88, it gets a lot more. Those first 2 years, oh man.
One thing a lot of folks don't understand is Optimus actually has, like, when you transform him and click it out, he's supposed to actually have like a ratcheted shoulder.
Yes.
But sometimes it wears out so quickly that it just
drops.
It's
super worn out. Yeah, I see that.
And it wears out so easy too.
When you open them up, actually, there's like red dust inside because it's so worn out.
Yeah, because it's really plastic pushing against plastic. There's nothing there to protect it. I do know that I watched a thing that Rocket Punch Army did, Chachi Power, if you hadn't ever seen that. He did this one thing where he actually had this type of lubricant that he was using to put on rubber tires that actually helps preserve them. But I'm not absolutely sure what that lubricant stuff is. I think he said something about it. I've heard of Armor Wall, but I know it's like a specialized thing for radio-controlled cars that he was using.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I forget what it was called, but it was kind of interesting because he was like, if you use this, this will actually keep them from drying out. Because like Dan was saying, I mean, the drying out, that's what causes those wheels to just crack and crumble.
Mm-hmm. It's the environment, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, so Dan or Don.
Dan, Don, Jim.
The headmaster.
I think you gathered up some third-party news for us, so why don't you go ahead and lead us into that?
Alrighty, just a representative selection from across the interwebs for our third-party news tonight. A couple of very interesting things. First up, from AllSpark, we have, from the new company, Machine Boy, we have a new... Not from what we're seeing on the pictures, it's not exactly classic scale. It's a little bit bigger than classics and not quite masterpiece. But given how big Astro Train is shown in the animation, this might fit as a pretty good classics Astro Train. And also the fact that it does come with a cold tender as part of the set. Is that link working?
Should. Yeah, let me sorry, behind the scenes folks, guys. We were
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
He's not here.
There's a curtain.
Yeah, we were talking about this, right?
Yeah. Machine Boy Astro Train Triple Changer, which looks to be very close to the show colors. It looks like the fan does fold down that you can replicate the look from the cartoon. Nice. And he apparently the satellite and the cold tender are now. I haven't had a chance to look at this in fine detail, but the picture of the cold tender, if you see that sideburn, that looks like I'm not sure if it is part of the transformation. Is it an add-on piece? I really can't tell yet. Yeah, but
it's sort of just that.
Yeah, but I love the look of the robot mode.
Huh. Yeah, so
I actually don't mind all the versions. It looks really cool. I mean, I like the layout. This is I like the satellite thing too.
Is the satellite from like is that homaging an
episode? Well, it looks kind of like a Sky Spy. So the Autobot
genes. That's exactly what it's going for.
Yeah, so it's like he's taking the Sky Spy out of orbit and he's stealing the Autobot satellite. Or he really wants to watch Game of Thrones. Well, actually, he's living Game of Thrones, if you think about being a Decepticon at the time. So, Starscream, Megatron, him, Blitzwing.
So, wait, in order to release that Sky Spy, does he have to open the Hodor?
The Hodor. Oh, that's...
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm guessing that's a pun.
I haven't either, but I'm aware of some character that apparently he only says the word Hodor, or he's called Hodor, one of the two.
Okay. But anyway, I like the looks of it. I think I love the colors, and I like the proportions a bit more than I did on Chigurh.
I like the way the wings are on this one. It does, you know, they don't look too big, and they don't look too small. They fit in.
They do.
So that's definitely something.
Yeah. It's got a really nice blocky aesthetic too. It's like straight up G1. Like he would fit in really good with your masterpiece shelf.
Well, sure. You know,
I don't know. I'm getting more of a classics vibe from him because a lot of classics were kind of blocky-ish.
Well, I would love to see him next like a seeker if they can find a classic seeker mold as hard as they are to find next to him. Because, like I said, you know, like in God Gambit, Astro Train is literally a head and shoulders above Starscream in size. So that could scale really well with classics.
Honestly, that's kind of in, like, real-life scale, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen the real space shuttle, but it dwarfs, like, F-15s and F-16s and F-14s. It's so humongous. It's just not even funny. It's literally like almost a city in itself. Those things are humongous.
Now, the next thing we have from AllSpark is X-Transbot, who we all know did Apollyon. They're also doing a Cyclonus.
Woo.
And this is a Cyclonus with a Target Master. And this is apparently a Masterpiece grade Cyclonus. They've done some color renders. I think this is the first prototype or actual physical copy we've seen.
There's Adder.
And,
Adder is there too in that image.
Yeah. So a lot of people that I've spoke with is really and also there's their Scourge, that's going to be in the next. Yeah, that's going to be in the next review. But
with
that's
the nails.
Yep. And I'll have to be honest. Scourge and Cyclonus have never been huge on my must get lists until I saw these. So you know, these are looking pretty tempting.
Yeah, I don't know. See, Cyclonus, for some reason, just. He became my favorite Decepticon when I watched through the G1 show. And
yeah, I love the face.
This guy's looking really awesome to me.
Yeah. Welcome to Soul Patch.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it looks really good for a resin prototype. I mean, yeah. It doesn't look bad at all.
Yeah. Well, I think the Killing Jar really for me changed him from being just another Decepticon to actually a actual character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as episodes go.
Yeah, well, that was when they went through the black hole, right? And he took on Magnus and Redgar and then.
And with the Quintesson, and then he had Marissa,
Marissa Fairborn, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then you throw on top of the current, you know, More Than Meets the Eye comics and how he's become a central character there. You know, I can't have too much Cyclonus right now. Like, I love Cyclonus as a character.
Yeah. Plus you get his target master as well, which is nice. That way you can have, you know. And there was another picture that I could not find. There was a little Galvatron sitting inside the cockpit. I'm not sure if that's coming with it or if it's just there. Something, you know, like if you wanted to put like the target master, but it looked like it was a little Galvatron sitting inside the cockpit.
I think it's part of it.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Daniel. I just couldn't find that picture from when I was looking for everything.
Yeah, it's not in this. There he is.
So that's definitely something to look at.
Good.
Yeah. And as a companion piece, we have this from T-Formers. It's that Scourge that we see pictured there. With everyone I know is loves because of the paint fingernail polish. You know, that's the it's like, yes, finally, yes, fingernail polish. I'm thinking it looks that good, and that's what you're focusing on is the fingernail polish.
Of course.
Well, I mean, it's all blatant, like hot pink color stuff or something.
Scourge shops in Hot Topic.
That's just his fingertips.
I mean, I'm hoping that pinkish stuff matches the thing on his head. Hopefully it's the same color. That'll be fine. That's what's wrong. Yeah.
Well, so those actually have LEDs in them, right?
I believe so.
Thrusters.
They look like they have little switches.
Oh, I thought you meant the fingernail.
Glowing fingernail action.
Oh no, that would be kind of cool. That would be kind of cool.
I mean, Armada Unicron had a glowing hand, right? So why not?
Then if his fingernails glowed, you could put him in a Kami Hami Hop.
I could just give him his pointing finger glow, like you.
Maybe like out of G Gundam's, like Mobile Suit Scourge, burning hand of justice.
So I think these two are definitely ones I'm going to keep my eyes on. I have not opened my Polyon yet from BotCon. I have a backlog. I'm still working on it. But I'm looking forward. I know about a Polyon Shoulders, but if the QC is there on a Polyon, I'm going to be a little more tempted by these than I normally would.
I just thought of something. If they have on this third party Not Scourge, the fingernails painted, is that going to be an issue later on with them chipping? Are they going to have to separately sell us little vials of the exact paint to be able to brush on his nails?
No, Lee Press-On kits.
Those look molded.
They probably get those from Repro Labels.
I'm pretty sure. You see in this picture right here, those look like they're molded in paint.
Oh, are they?
I wouldn't be surprised if they're molded plastic as like just the tips.
Oh, so smaller pieces.
That's what it really looks like.
Well, would it be easier for them to mold it in pink and then just paint the joints they don't want pink, or would it be easier to?
They look molded in pink because you wouldn't paint a joint, and it looks like they look like they fold into the fingers there, so it looks like it's molded in pink. They might even be soft. You never know.
What if it's a sort of thing where like the pink is a separate piece from the rest of the end of the finger and it just like inserts into it and snaps in?
Well, yeah, it looks like you see the little holes there where you would have that friction joint to let it, you know, give it
mobility.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah. And also, if anyone's wondering what that little triangle shape thing is, if I'm not mistaken, that is the key to Vector Sigma.
Oh, so it's not, that's not his...
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Key to the plasma energy chamber. Key to the plasma energy chamber.
Yes, that thing. Yeah. The changed shape in the middle of the episode.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, like with the pink hand, like with the pink fingertips, I would not be surprised if they give us like hand swap out option with this, because there's gonna be some people that won't buy it because of that. There's some people that, oh, that looks stupid. I don't want that. It looks like he's wearing fingernail polish.
Or troop builders to make scores, to make generic sweeps.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Another idea with that, like, you know, besides just doing the sweeps, what I would love to see them do is kind of a mangled head that they could be changed out, or just have a slightly remolded figure that looks a little bit mangled and warped for that time that Scourge got the Matrix.
Or just a swappable face for that.
Yeah.
Instead of having to remold the entire head, just make his face is swappable for Troop Builder.
Yeah.
That does look pretty cool.
It does.
Starship Enterprise.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though, because I have Mania King. He is not going to scale with these figures. He looks good, but he's too small. I'm wondering if they'll be doing a Galvatron after this.
I'm thinking sooner or later Hasbro, I think, is going to get to that, or Takara. I think that's one on the short list that needs to happen sooner or later.
I don't know. Do you think they really consider Galvatron one of their main characters?
The problem with Japan as a whole is they don't like villain characters. They never sell well. And if you look at the Masterpiece line as a whole, you have Megatron, which they've never repainted outside of that gold repaint. Right. They have Soundwave that they repainted once. And then you got those Seekers. And then you got the Wheeljack exhaust recently. So, like, they're really just repaints and just like, well, let's just put these out. After they did Soundwave and Starscream and all the million repaints from it, there's very little incentive to do anyone else. And I always feel that if they were going to do one more guy, it would probably be Galvatron. But I think they probably won't do Galvatron until they take a second crack at Rodimus. Like, I think they're – because you have the new designer now, Shogo. I think he – because Shogo came in at MP10. When the original guy, Matsuda, had MP9 and below. So I think if they did another Rodimus, then I could kind of see another.
Yeah.
But then that's me saying, like, I think they have to do another Megatron first before they even do another Galvatron. So.
Well, since you mentioned Galvatron, that actually reminded me of something. I've been seeing some people discuss just on social media regarding the potential remold or repaint potential for Combiner Wars Cyclonus and Combiner Wars like Air Raid, some of the aerial bot limbs into the Seekers, into the Seeker Jet, Starscream, Dirge, Thundercracker, and all them. Most especially the Combiner Wars Cyclonus mold, the Voyager, because in the Galvatronus torso mode, you notice a lot of the features hearken to King Starscream. You've got a cockpit in the center of the chest. You've got the standard Seeker torso almost, with the exception of Galvatron six pack, and then the head, the upper part of the head resembles more Starscream's crown than it does Galvatron's.
You might be trident. Something that might be a future thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's kind of like looking at the old Silverbolt Universe 1.0 Classics mold and seeing the repaint potential that would have came from that from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, one thing's for certain, though, that we've noticed is Hasbro was trying to take everything with that line and retool it and make work for every possible character they can bring out.
There's
going to be some that I don't think we're going to see, though. I mean, We already had the discussion about a Lyle Kaiser, but I see a Lyle Kaiser as like a Takara repaint. See it more or less that. It's not going to be a U.S. release thinking.
It'll be a Unite box set something.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or Club.
I don't think the Club will go that
route. Yeah,
well, here's a good question, and this is probably an excellent question, considering, you know, with the couple reveals we had for the G2 Combiners, do you see them doing a G2 Defensor?
I would not be surprised.
I would almost bank on it, because they're the Minotaur and the Superion.
Well, not to mention, they like If War for Cybertron Brutic has taught us anything, is they will repaint the F out of molds until they can't think of anything anymore. So if there's a G2 repaint in something that actually makes sense, they'll do it. I mean, yeah. And they already did. They're already planning a G2 Menasor, which was a unreleased color scheme. So so Defensor is kind of a given now at this point. You can't even say like, oh, well, that's a toy that never got released. They won't want to do that. Well, they did G2 Menasor, and you could say, well, there's the breakdown, but you know, that was a Bakon exclusive. But no, I really think that everything, all the cards are on the table at this point. That could be right now. I see G2 repaints being more exclusives to the store, or like they did in the past with a Big Bad Toy Store, where they did the G2 Bruticus with the War for Cybertron.
Yep.
I could see them more being store exclusives, web exclusives, SDCC exclusives. I don't see them being really retail, though. So, because retail seems to be more obsessed. They seem more obsessed.
I mean, what
were you going to say?
The only reason I brought that up is because on TFW, and this was about 2-3 months back, some high-res photos were released of the Generation 2 Defensor, including Hotspot, that has never – I've literally seen maybe 2 pictures of that toy itself, just the Hotspot alone, which was a card backing that was pretty blurry on top of a very, very blurry picture of it in robot mode next to the rest of them that were not released. And that's where I based my G2 custom off of, was a lot of those photos. Mm-hmm. But it was really no a complete look at this. You can even see what the stickers say, which you couldn't see from the other ones, unless you saw somebody that released photos of the ones that are in AFA boxes that were store samples that leaked out, but there was never a Hotspot ever leaked out. Like, literally, I think there might be, I mean, Dan would probably be able to correct me on this, but maybe only 2 or 3 of those.
There's
even
probably only a few samples, because the Menasor, it seems that there's – it seems like there's a lot more Menasors than we thought there was, because they seem to be always showing up on eBay every 3 weeks and then selling for like 18 grand. 18 grand, I'm being nice, like 80 grand. It's pretty crazy what they're going for. But there seems to be a lot of those where you are correct, though, Jay. It doesn't seem like there's many of those Defensor ones. Those ones were really an afterthought. It's kind of like the desert colored seeker jet, you know, where there's only one of existence, really. So, and that was like it was a hand painted prototype. So,
now you don't suppose that you since you mentioned that the Stunicon seemed to be a bit more plentiful than the Protector Box,
then we lead on
which now that you mentioned, I tend to agree based on what I've seen. You don't suppose there might be some kind of under the radar counterfeiting of those going around?
I am shocked that they have not gotten to it at this point. Like, all the things that these third-party knockoff bootleggers have done up to this point, I am surprised they haven't gone that route yet. Mm-hmm. Because that would have been, like, instant money for them.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of like this guy. Mm-hmm. There's KOs of this guy.
Orange.
G2 Orange. Yeah. Which is literally identical, except for it doesn't have the Decepticon stamping. I have looked, and the only other difference between that and the original is this actually has the firing fists, which the original does.
And the springs.
That is the only way to tell the difference between the two. I have yet to review this thing. This thing literally felt like a Hasbro toy. It's not crap. I mean, these high-quality KOs are hard. It's very, very difficult to tell the difference unless you know that there's a slight mold. Like, you look at if you look at Power Master Prime's guns, there's a KO version, and then there's the real one. And there's a slight remold in the KO versus the vision. But if you just take a blatant look, you can't tell the difference.
And the thing is that the bootlegging guys, I mean, I don't care what you say about it, they're really in it for the money, to make money from this product. But if you could just bootleg one, not say it's a bootleg, not bring this up, and put it on eBay, and it sells. I mean, just – it's disgusting how much that G2 Menasor is going for, complete sets of them. And, I mean, like 60 grand some of them. If a bootleg company could bootleg one, put it out there in the market. Not say anything. Just say, oh, here we go, samples that we got from something, something. And for them to get 60 grand, you don't have to work for a year.
Yeah. If nothing else, that one sale could have just funded a lot more of them to come out. It could have funded their
project. They could just put one out once every 6 months and never have to work for the rest of their lives, you know. But, so it's
like a one auction Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Of these repaints, you guys mind if I plug something I got going on my YouTube?
Sure.
So there is a contest going on my YouTube currently right now, and it is for a European hot foot, a Cyberjets Skyjack, and also a custom Generation 2 Defensor and a custom Generation 2 Computron that I've done. And the contest is once I hit 1,000 subs on there, I will be announcing a winner. Mm. But the stipulation is people have to go through my archives and find the video that is similar to MGO 316's and put the comment on that video. You put the comment on the video, your answer, your names get thrown in a random key generator of the people that get the answer correct. And then once I hit 1,000 subs, I announce the winner. That's how it works. And there's three winners. One winner gets both of the mint on cards. One other winner gets one combiner. Another winner gets the other combiner. So there's three winners.
So, okay.
Pimp that out, guys. You want Generation 2 stuff, hit me up.
Okay.
You want the two guys.
All right. well, the last two things we have, one is third party and one is first party. Well, first and a half party, maybe. first one is the War Within Optimus Prime. We all remember the Titanium figure.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best figure. Had a few issues. But the new Spark Toy Company is doing a War Within Optimus Prime that looks pretty good. And it's that's all we've seen so far is the gray resin. It's not one of my favorite Prime designs, but I think there's a lot of people that have been wanting a good version of that toy.
Yeah, a good version of Dawn's design.
Yeah. So, and that right
well,
there.
Well, there was only one other third party that I know of that even touched this. The vehicle mode, the bot mode, didn't look anything like this, but it was a Zovern. Yeah, it was Zovern, is what it was.
Oh, crossover.
This was a while back.
Yeah.
And then they also released a green version of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was the Patriot.
That was the Rolling Thunder.
You probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that we don't.
It was called Zovern, I know that.
Yeah, yep. But I'm hoping this does well for them because I just know a lot of people won't, you know, Don's work captured in a toy that doesn't get floppy.
Well, that's Galoob's fault. That was.
Well, but they tried. I mean, I'll give him credit. You know,
that was an interesting venture that he was given back then. Yeah. But yeah, it would be really nice to get a new interpretation, and it's a lot more beefier. It looks like it has articulated fingers. It looks like it'll be really cool.
So that's a void.
It might have a very interesting transformation too.
And 9 inches, yeah, that would put it about
a Voyager.
Yeah, about a Voyager. Yeah,
nice.
So that's definitely look out for. And the last thing we have, the one in that 1 point, do what?
Those guys weren't very big. I'm looking at them right now.
If we're going into the 1.5, you actually did miss this.
Hmm. What?
We mentioned that earlier about the damage issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I figured we go ahead and show it. We mentioned it.
I'm sorry. I thought we talked about this last week. That's why.
Oh, did we?
I thought we did.
Oh, well, if we did, we mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
You can look at it real quick.
Yes.
It's a replacement.
We'll go ahead. Kind of a loosely related thing here is I'm old school. I still collect VHS tapes of different things, and I got one of Monty Python's Flying Circus recently. And on the back, it credits John Cleese as Dr. Wu. spelled exactly the same. I thought that was pretty funny.
I just find it interesting that Dr. Wu is going into actually making full-on figures instead of just add-on kits.
This could just be him seeing a need for a G1 Mixmaster to go with the rest of the... I mean, he may not be leaving the parts creation business. This just may be an opportunity that he's been waiting for to do that one figure that will make a lot of difference to a lot of people.
Hmm.
You know, he may not do another full figure for who knows how long. This just could be him seeing a need that no one else has done yet and is trying to. That's his one thing he wants to do. So we will find out.
If you want to, you can spin it as this is an accessory for Devastator because he's just giving him a new left shoe.
Yeah. Well, he's giving Devastator a leg up on the competition.
Just another foot forward.
Yes. Yes.
I could see where he probably came up with the idea because he was probably watching everybody else and all these other companies. Okay, they're going to make a new head, arms, you know, all these little bitty bits. And he's sitting there thinking, nobody's tackled that leg yet. I got the money. I'm just going to crank out in it. And that's probably what he did. The guy's probably made money hand over fist over every add-on that's came out. So he's probably already has the backing of, guess what? I got the financial backing. I might as well do it. And bam, here it is.
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to say on it is I like the way the figure looks. And depending on the price, I may or may not get it. But the shading has got to be spot on. Yes. If it's off by a fraction, it's not going to work. So that's what I'm hoping for is that the color match in production comes out right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's awesome. Yeah, when it comes to the production, that's the problem. The prototype might look awesome, but we've all seen it, even with Hasbro, sometimes when the production model hits spot on to what they gave them.
I agree. And
sometimes
a lot of times I find resins
a few times too.
Yeah, I find that resins a lot of the time look a lot nicer than the final products. At the end, it's always the case because I find gray brings out a lot more detail. So when you finally put color on it, it kind of looks meh. So I know a good example of that was when we first saw years ago the gray resin for Armada Overload. And everyone's like, wow, look at the detail on them and everything. And then when they painted them like red and all those colors, it kind of got washed away. So, but yeah.
Yeah. And one of the last – we got two more pieces of news left. Transformers Collectors Club has up for pre-order what we saw at BotCon, the old Snake figure from Only Human, and the Transformers Prime Soundwave recolored as – Battle of Android Troopers, which I think is a brilliant use of that Soundwave mold, as the colors work well on that drone vehicle mode of his. That's going to be $79 if you're a club member for the set. Includes both bats and the old Snake figure. The other figure is going to be the Marissa Fairborn with Afterbreaker or Afterburner. And that's going to be $42 available through the club. So, and it'll be kind of interesting because next year we will be getting the first two Only Human figures is in Magnus and RC, which I'm looking forward to getting myself.
I got to say, they don't make terrorists like they used to.
That's my favorite part of the whole episode. That's probably everybody's favorite part. Is that last 5 seconds when he does the cover and he just sort of starts coughing.
Yeah, just think back to, you know, when that episode first aired, the little kids just sitting there on the floor with their, trick cereal, just watching, and all of a sudden he yells at Cobra. They're like,
I think I was 17 at the time and I did that.
So. Yeah, you were still sitting on the floor with trick cereal. Who are you kidding?
No, I probably had Golden Grams.
Now, one of the things is just
10 grams.
It's more of a kick cereal.
Yeah.
Tested, mother approved.
This just came pops. In. This just came in while we were on the show.
Oh.
Fans want it. Y'all remember fans want it from a lot of their upgrade sets in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing a mech tech slash kind of weapons ring for Evasion Prime. What we never really got from Revenge of the Fallen, we are getting the weapons ring, the basically what has been termed... Yeah, was Dark Moon? I'm sorry. Basically, is the fan phrase is called the Stargate Armory, because it looks like a Stargate.
Ah, I see what they did there.
Yeah, when he was in Chernobyl.
Okay. Yeah,
that's right.
Weapons, and all he did was pulled off a sword.
Yeah, so this right here, and because it's scaled for Evasion Prime, I think it'll be a little more affordable than what they... Than, I think they or someone else did a leader class ring that became a truck trailer, but I don't remember how much it was. Daniel, do you remember how much that was?
Yeah, I don't know, but that thing was huge.
It was big. It was big.
That's a lot of display space.
Yeah. So
with all those guns, he could pretty much become a Chernobyl savage. No one? Not even crickets?
The sandwich joke. Sandwich joke.
The beast machine's joke.
All right, here we go.
Hey, yeah.
Okay, good. The link's working. I was afraid the link wasn't working there. Yes.
That is lovely.
No,
dude, that is sick.
It's got the flight pack.
Well, actually,
I'm one of those people that actually does have the Evasion Prime, and I think I would actually jump on this. That's actually kind of neat.
It was a wonderful mold. I love that thing.
The way it reads is that there's going to be three different sets that you can get individually. There's going to be an advanced weapon collection. There's going to be a jet wing upgrade kit, a.k.a. Dead Jetfire. And then there's going to be the actual Stargate ring itself. So there would be three kits that you can get, any or all of them that you want to. No release date or price yet, but I think a lot of people, even if the ring does not become a trailer, which I don't think it does in this case, that will make a beautiful display.
I got to say, I find it amusing that they're having a third-party busted Transformer in that Jetfire.
I mean, that's
great.
It'd be even better if you can, like, parse form it back into him.
I think Dark of the Moon Jetpack is just based on Jetfire's corpse.
I think so.
And not built after it.
Well, unless that's different than what we're looking at here, different than that particular flight pack.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it looks like the jetpack's sitting on top, so I mean, maybe what they're saying is just bits and pieces of that set is going to be laid out. So
that could be.
I would just start the thing.
So that
reminds me of those Macross and stuff like that. How you can just, you know.
The Valkyrie. I agree.
Yeah.
Girl walk.
I love it. Yes, yeah, please. Gert Trek mode, go.
Yes.
So that's something I'm gonna be keeping my eyes on that, because the jet wing kit doesn't mean much to me, but the weapon collection and the Stargate and the ring itself, I think will look really great.
It's a nice display piece for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've only kept the leader class, you know, Revenge of the Fallen Prime, so it has no place for me, but you know, there's nothing better than having a ton of weapons to just deck out your figures with.
All the better to take your face.
Exactly. Yeah. And your parts. And
take a closer look at that ring.
And also mom. To kill them all.
And your mom for a nickel.
Golden opportunity for them. If they wanted to add a piece last minute, they should totally include a just little attachment that's the Fallen's face.
Actually, you know, something I would love to see is if that thing itself has, like, LEDs, so it just can, like, light up all the way around it. That would just be sick.
That's nice. What I was thinking, too, because I'm looking at this. This is clearly the unpainted version. I'm really curious what colors they'll go with it. Like, the inner part of that ring, if it's going to be blue, that'll look really nice.
Yeah.
So this is literally like just the resin unpainted.
I'm just really like sick sitting on one of those machine, you know, those machine chain bases and stuff. That would just look awesome, just sitting there with him in that, just like glowing.
You know, I just had a thought about trying to check the eBay and try to find some Stargate figures, and just, you know, have the, like, this is the wrong Stargate.
Gertruck. You're welcome.
Stacks mode.
You know, I would not mind
on the Balcon panel.
You know, I would not mind seeing that evasion mode prime repainted as Stacks. I think that would look pretty.
I could see that.
As GoBot Stacks or G2 Stacks?
GoBot Stacks.
Both. It has to be GoBot. Just because
there's G2 Stacks in robot mode.
Mr. Winfield for a head.
Well, I keep saying Strongarm from Robots in Disguise needs to be repainted as Smallfoot. That would be a perfect mold to repaint Stern Smallfoot.
That is actually a very clever idea, Don. I didn't even think of that. That'd be really good.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's got the right build for it. She's a truck. Mm-hmm. Even the face is kind of
like a new head. You could really sell it the whole way.
Right.
Yep.
Oh God! Now you just gave some customizer a wet dream.
No, that's a good idea for something for the club to do.
It definitely, you know, I can see that since they have the rights to the names.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, now they might would have to leave the head as it is for the whole likeness thing because they don't have rights to the likenesses. So a new head with a similar paint job may push it too close.
Well, they've gotten away with very similar stuff. Look at Fracture with the Crasher thing. I mean,
that's true.
They've come pretty close. You know, it's as long as they're not blatantly 100% the design, they're able to get pretty close. I mean, you have to understand Hasbro went through that whole thing with the Jetfire thing with Harmony Gold with the G.I. Joe set. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That case. So, yeah. I mean, if Bandai ever came after them going like, hey, you're copying, you know, whatever, Honda Robo, whatever it was originally called, the Machine Robo, I think they wouldn't have too much of an issue. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a red truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can't forget the biggest, most important news of the week.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So much of this.
I'm reading somewhere, though, that those are customs, just. They're not...
Oh.
That prime looks a bit... like the backpack stuff.
Why?
Why? Question.
Just... Why?
It's a little hand-painted.
Because it's there.
I'll be honest, I'd buy them. Yeah. Depending on the price. Just for the novelty. But that would, they would look good with Battle Unicorn on the shelf.
I got a question to ask you. How many Mickey Mouse Primes do you have on your shelf?
None. I wasn't paying that price for them.
Okay. Hey, do you have the Mickey Combiner?
I've seen that thing in person,
and it's amazing. I still want it just because it's freaking awesome. It
comes in like five different repaints. That one, it's pretty easy to get.
I when that thing first came out, I always kept hoping do a Disney Afternoon version. Do a Disney Afternoon version.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm old.
Although since we brought up the MLP, and for our listeners who aren't watching on YouTube. We just showed a it was an image of two My Little Pony figures done up in the style of R.I.D. Optimus and Bumblebee. It was done for something called Friendship Day. I'm not too sure on the details on Friendship Day. I'm guessing it's a MLP themed.
Yeah, it's a My Little Pony something. It was on Twitter and Facebook. They showed it.
But since we brought up the My Little Pony, that has me wondering, though, being that, you know, I'm so heavily associated with Creo, why haven't we seen My Little Pony Creo?
Because Creo's a failing brand.
Don't tempt them!
But what would it have been had they done My Little Pony?
Well, in the same way that Lego is struggling to find the girl you know, group with their Lego Friends series. I'm pretty sure Hasbro is waiting to see if that even if that even success is successful.
Well, that's been out about 2 years.
To then venture into that.
Yeah. That's been out about 2 years, hasn't it already?
And it's, I'm pretty sure they're still trying.
Okay.
if you look at Lego's girls section, which is actually displaced from the main Lego section, it's with
the girl toys.
It's like an eighth of the actual Lego aisle, and it's just one of those things there.
What happened to this whole thing where, you know, all the toy sections just supposed to be combined together, and there's not supposed to be this segregation? I thought there was something going on with that for a while.
Back years ago, Lego was always pretty well gender neutral.
A lot of the Lego City stuff was actually very gender neutral
and
have stuff like that. But I think it's just with their recent popularity, and I hate to like go on a Lego rant or something, but it's with their recent popularity, they've really been trying. They've done focus searching. They've done all kinds of stuff, and they found out that not a lot of girls actually didn't play with modern Lego because of mostly the sets were based on licensed franchises and stuff.
Right.
Or boy based. And popular boys. So, I mean, that's why the Lego Friends series existed. They recently started doing Disney-based stuff like Frozen and everything, and Disney princess stuff. So, but that being said, going back to Creo, the one problem where I don't think they would have – like if they would have to do My Little Pony ones, the problem with Creo right now is they're really in this – I don't want to say a rut, but they really are in this section of – they're reusing molds like crazy. They're not really making a lot of new molds. Even like the recent RID 2.0 Creos, a lot of them are reusing a lot of those old molds to make new characters. Like I think they use like Prowl's, you know, head helmet to make Strong Arm.
Yeah, and Jetfire.
Right now. So, I mean, they're still reusing molds where it's like if they did, you know, My Little Pony, everything would have to be from the ground up again. They would have to like, you know, you wouldn't even know where to begin with that stuff. So... And to make that much of an effort and, you know, on something that, unfortunately, like everyone said, it's kind of a unstable brand for them right now.
I don't know. I think MLP might be the thing to help kind of resurrect them because, like, for instance, the existing Creo bodies, I think, would work well for the Equestria girl thing that. And then it shouldn't take too much to just create a different torso and a different set of legs for the regular pony.
That's under the assumption that they want to make that effort because, I mean, if you looked at the last wave of the Age of Extinction custom Creos, they were reusing Dungeons and Dragon molds. They were reusing anything that was disposable to them from their other two non-Transformer brands to just keep those lines going. You look even the recent blind packs where they have those history ones there now with like Optimus the Cowboy and everything. They're just reusing, oh, hey, let's take the molds from here. Let's take the molds from there. Now, again, there is female body types. They do kind of exist from the G.I. Joe side of things with the Baroness and stuff. Mm-hmm. But how much could they run through that to use for all the Equestria girls? That's a lot of new molds that would have to be made. And I just don't think they're in that state of mind right now. I think that Creo, unfortunately, as much as I enjoy it, I have a humongous Creo display here in a city and everything. But as much as I enjoy it, I think that Hasbro is really kind of dialing it back and focusing on other areas right now.
Well, I asked them at BotCon and the panel, I asked them, is Creo dead? And they said, stay tuned. So they're working on something.
This is my thing that I could probably see them doing because, I mean, they did dabble with G.I. Joe and obviously Transformers. And with the recent announcement about Mask possibly having a comeback, Mask Creo?
That's under the assumption that they want to take the brand that far. I don't think it would be wise for Hasbro to bring back a new brand like Mask and then jump into cross-branding with other stuff right now, get the baseline to be successful, then start doing stuff like that where you're going to do a Creo brand.
Well, the only reason why I could maybe if they try to test the market with Creo and Mask.
They just got to put that shit out there, you know? They got to put it out there.
Right, especially if they go through and they're like, okay, you know, they had the Optimus Prime with a big trailer. Well, why not make the most identical to the, you know, the Optimus that came out, but Rhino, and then make the back of it open up into more of a missile base kind of thing. They do like a slight tweak like that, there's going to be people buying it right away. Like right away, the second it hits.
We think so. Like, the thing is that there's a lot of people that are like, hey, I remember Mask, but is there a lot of people that are like, hey, I'll buy Mask? You know, that's the difference. And it's just, it's the same thing. Look, hey, everyone was like, yo, dude, Thundercats, and, you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
they tried
really hard.
Hasbro's flagship brands, well, I mean, as much as a flagship brand as Transformers can be, can't move their Lego knockoff off shelves.
Yeah.
It's something that hasn't been a thing since, I barely even know what Mask is. I don't think Creo, I mean, even if you look at the whole, you know, Lego knockoff aisle, the Mega Bloks Halo stuff, as popular as Halo is, that stuff's not moving very fast either. That stuff goes on clearance.
I was about to say, Halo and Call of Duty as far as I know, that stuff's barely even moving.
And it's not to say that it's crap quality. It's still really good stuff, especially Mega Bloks. Mega Bloks is pretty impressive in terms of articulation and design. But regardless of that, Lego survives because of its purists that just love it for what it is. And Hasbro, like you said before, Transformers is this mega established brand that does well for them. If their Creo G.I. Joes weren't moving, if their Creo, you know, well, Battleship, if their Creo Star Trek stuff wasn't moving, you know, then what's to say that Mask is just going to mosey on along after being dormant for like 25 years and shake things up? I really doubt it. You know, like, I think that way before you even think of doing something, let's see if they could have legs on their own as a wave of toys before they even think about something like, look at Hasbro's confidence in GEM. So far, it's only a specialty doll line with Integrity that are like, oh God, like three-digit price dolls. They're not even putting something into retail just yet. And with the coming of this movie that everyone is being so hard on, it's not going to look too pretty. So, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves with Mask just yet. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, because you got the folks that are nothing but purists about, like, because you guys are all G1, all this.
It's what killed.
There has to be a chance somewhere, though.
He-Man in 2003, when they had their whole remade series, it was the hardcore fans that buried that show. Because the hardcore fans are like, this isn't the He-Man I remember, and they refuse to buy. It's like, imagine if, like, everyone just went cold on Beast Wars. And was just like, no, I don't like this. Goodbye. That's what happened with He-Man, and that's why it's been, like, struggling all those years. Although last SDCC, there's been a really big push for He-Man, but it's still not there yet. There's still no big He-Man revival anytime soon. You just have the classics line through Matty.
With the O3 series, what I remember happening, too, was at retail, you would have He-Man, Skeletor, Snake armor, samurai armor, Malibu Skeletor with an umbrella in his drink. You know, yeah. I mean, too much saturation of too few characters, and I think that's also what killed the Thundercats.
Yeah.
Too.
Anyways, we're talking about He-Man, so let's.
I know. I'm just saying this. It's relevant to both because it was the same sort of.
Well, the thing I see. Honestly, the thing I see is, like, you know, because I look at stuff from, like, a movie perspective, too, because everything that's a toy somehow collaborates with a show or a movie that's coming out with everything, with every toy line that's being released now. But think about it. Jurassic Park, The Lost World, did good. The one before it did good, toy line-wise. Jurassic Park 3 tanked. Why? The movie was crap. And then they turn it back around with Jurassic World. And I don't know about you, but I felt like I was 12 years old again watching because it was done the right way.
Success of a movie doesn't always determine success of a toy line, though. You can look at the first Star Trek movie and how successful that was and how they were liquidating the shit out of those toys.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't get rid of those. So, I mean.
Well, I think what it is they didn't test the market good enough in order to find out whether people really want them.
Test the market. Star
Trek
has been in the market.
You got social media now.
Back in the 90s. It's a matter of just the fan base that collects that stuff. Star Trek fans are not action figure oriented collectors like a Transformer fan is. It's ingrained in our geek culture to collect toys because of that's what our brand is. But it's a little different from a Star Wars and Transformers fan. Toys are part of that culture. Star Trek not so much so. Especially considering that they have some of the worst toys ever from the 90s. So they had a really tough time as collectors. So when that stuff came out.
I think a lot of the Star Wars, or like anybody that gets into Star Trek and stuff that normally they're after a role play toy. That's what they would rather have.
I will agree with you there.
They don't want an action figure. They want something they can take to their convention and use it as part of their cause.
But anyways, let's get off of this talk.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, so we got to wrap this up.
Yeah, we've been going about 2 hours, so I think it's time that we wrap this up.
Don fell off. He said, "Screw you guys, I'm out of here. Bye."
Oh, God, they're talking about Star Trek. I'm out of here.
Oh, God, no.
They'll be back.
It's not a TFYLP episode if we don't go down the rabbit hole just a little bit. Yeah. But all right, we're going to go ahead and call it a night. Hope everyone enjoyed listening. Want to give you guys one more chance. You know, say bye to the fans, the listeners.
Bye to the fans, the listeners.
I'll see you guys around. You guys know I'll be here on Facebook normally. I try to do videos when I can. That video plastic on crazy dude with all the G2 crap. Yeah, that dude.
Yeah, and I
oh God, Don's back line.
I told you he'd be back.
Yeah, there he is.
This is futile.
I just barfed on me.
Look, it was tired as popped off. He had to fix it.
It didn't like Star Trek, so it just
No, I like Star Trek, dude.
I blame Matthew.
His headmaster dislodged when we're talking about Star Trek.
I'm saying your internet. You know, your internet's a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, committed suicide.
say your goodbyes, Don. We're not killing you. We're not killing you. We're just we're just ended the show.
All right. Everybody, have a good night. Take care. Go to TF Expo. Have fun for me.
And Dan.
See you later, boys.
Right, I want to remind everyone that we still have a competition going on for the Rodimus Primal. We've gotten very few entries, and draw those, post them on our Facebook, send them in to us. You can post them on our website, tfylp.com or tftalk.net. Send them to us on Twitter. We want to, send that stuff in. You'll get something from Rick Alvarez himself, and just draw us something.
Yes.
Just remember, Rodimus Primal listens to TFLP. So that's good words of advice.
Yeah. All right. For everyone, that's been TFYLP episode 162. We'll see you guys next week. He's out.
Later.
There you are.
Don't forget to reboot your Devastator with Dr. Wu.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another
TFYLP.